go. All right, good morning. Happy Wednesday. Glad the Lord brought us all back together again. Definitely grateful for the chance to share what the Lord's been ministering to me about. So we will pray and then we'll go right in. Father, we honor you. We thank you that you're good. Lord, I pray for each one of us to have an understanding, to have a revelation of your goodness. Lord, I pray that we're able to see that your plans are to help us, to heal us, to bless us, to show us exactly what you have for each one of us. I thank you, God, that we don't have to lean on other people's understanding, that we can focus on you and you can speak to each one of us individually. Lord, I pray that you'll put people in each one of our lives that we can trust, people that'll give us the truth, people that will share revelations that come from you. Lord, today I pray that you will open up our minds and our hearts. I pray that you'll help me speak exactly what you've been showing me, exactly what you've been ministering to me about. Lord, I pray that you will heal your people. We pray these things by faith in you, believing them done by faith, and we honor you and glorify you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture this morning will come out of the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And this morning as I was talking to the Lord and doing a lot more talking than I was listening at the beginning, to be very honest, the Lord showed me that he wanted me to talk about forgiveness, and he took me to Matthew chapter 28, and I read it, listened to it several times, and I was like, Lord, maybe I misunderstood the scripture, and then he opened up my understanding, so I definitely honor him for that. And you know, we're coming up on Good Friday, not this Friday, but the next, and obviously, it's a good Friday for you and me that our Savior's not dead, that he sits at the right hand of God forever making intercessions for us. And I believe we should get excited about that. But one way that I believe the enemy tries to hold a lot of us down and is holding a lot of us down is that we're not experiencing forgiveness. And what I mean by that is, yes, we need to forgive other people. It's extremely important. The Bible is very, very clear. But one of the greatest ways the enemy's held me down in the past is that I wasn't willing to forgive myself. I could forgive other people quite easily, to be very honest with you. I can let it go, I can forgive and go forward, but it's when I mess up, it's when I do something wrong, it's when I fall short that I have a problem forgiving myself. And in the past, I've thought, maybe many of you think this or have thought this, that as a sign of strength or as a sign to show that I'm really, really sorry is I beat myself up. Or I don't forgive myself to show how strong I am and how the offense or sin, whatever it may have been, how deeply that affects me is I would refuse to forgive and I would let it eat at me to the point that it would make me absolutely miserable. But this morning I have good news. I don't believe the goodness of God. I don't believe a God that is love. I don't believe that a God that sent his only begotten son so that you and me could have life eternal with him wants us to beat ourselves up. I don't believe God is pleased when you and me sit in our pity parties and talk about how we should have never and will never do this again and how we degrade ourselves and how we refuse to forgive ourselves, yet we'll forgive other people. You see, this morning, I would even argue that forgiving yourself is as important as forgiving others. You see, Peter denies Jesus three times, and the first time that Peter lays eyes on Jesus again, the Bible declares that Peter jumps out of the boat and swims to the Savior. How in the world could a man that had literally been there when Jesus was getting crucified, that had said, I've never known this man, not one time, not two times, but three times the Bible declares, how could this man be willing to face Jesus? Because I know when I mess up just a little bit, Jesus is absolutely the last person I'm willing to look eye to eye with. I don't want to talk to God and talk about the goodness of God when I mess up. I don't want to receive this forgiveness, receive this love, receive this mercy, receive this grace when I'm the one that messes up. You see, this morning, brothers and sisters, in the book of Matthew chapter 28, we'll start at verse 1. Until about 30 minutes ago, I have never seen this passage about forgiveness. But in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men." I'll stop right there. When we get into the presence of the Lord, we can either get into the presence like Mary Magdalene and Mary and be willing to receive from the Lord, or we can allow everything going on around us to make us like dead men. So you have the angel of the Lord come down, and the Bible says he was like lightning. The Bible says his clothes were white as snow. He was magnificent. And notice in the scriptures, every time that an angel comes down and speaks to a human, the very first thing they say to him is, "Fear not." Because the angel doesn't want them to be scared of their glory. The angel doesn't want them to be scared of their majesty. The angel does not want them to be scared of who they are, because they're merely a messenger for God. So in verse 5, but the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Verse 8, so they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples words. Verse 9, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Verse 10, then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So the angel tells them, listen, he's not here. You can see where they laid him, but I need you to go tell the disciples. I need you to go tell your brothers in the Lord that, listen, go to Galilee and there you'll see him. So the Bible says that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they ran out and they were going to tell him, but Jesus met them on the way. I look at this and I'm like, wait a minute, God, you just told these women that to go tell the disciples to, you know, go to Galilee, and then they can, you know, be excited and go together. But what God showed me this morning is, if we're willing to do what God asks us to do, if we're willing to obey, if we're willing to step out in faith, think about this. Jesus had told the disciples on many occasions, many, many occasions, that, listen, I've got to die and in 3 days I'll get up again. He told them many, many times, listen, don't worry. After this, things have to take place. This is all part of the plan. But when Jesus was crucified, there wasn't very many, if any, people that thought about those words. They thought about the time that they let him down. Peter thought about the 3 times that he disappointed him. Peter thought about the times that he let down the Savior, that he let down the one that loved him in spite of, that he let down the one that was willing to accept him into the family. But when they think about these things, the Bible says that they go on their path, and before that they can get to the disciples, that Jesus comes down, and the first word that he says to them is rejoice. The reason I believe that Jesus told Mary and Mary Magdalene to rejoice is because he wanted them to be happy of the experiences that they were having. But the only way that they were able to have these experiences with the angel and now with him is that first they were willing to be forgiven. You see, we can't forget that Mary Magdalene was the one that Jesus cast out seven demons out of. You don't think she had problems? You don't think she disappointed the Savior? You don't think that she messed up? But how many of us this morning will we refuse to forgive ourselves for the things that we've done? We refuse to let go. We refuse to let God heal us because we are so unwilling to receive the love of God. You see, one thing that I've learned in my life is there is absolutely not one thing, not one good thing that comes from us beating ourselves up over sin. You may say, Brother Alan, you're wrong there, because if we beat ourselves up enough, then that means we'll never do that sin again. I argue with you. I beat myself up over sin and 10 minutes later did exactly the same thing. But when I allow God to come in and heal that part of me, when I allow God to show me how good He is, when I allow God to make things right in my life, when I allow God to make things whole in my life, that's when I never want to do that sin again. And that's when, if I do mess up again, I can go quickly back to Him and say, Father, I messed up, but I need help again. Your blood is sufficient for all of my sins. Think about it with your kids or grandkids, nieces and nephews. How many of them, when they mess up and give them 5-10 minutes, they'll mess up again? Most of them are never ashamed to come back and ask you for something. They may be scared or timid to ask for forgiveness, but they're not scared to come back and make their request known. My son or my daughter can do absolutely whatever, and I tell them they're in trouble, give them 5 minutes, and they'll come right back to me and ask me for whatever it is they're wanting or to do whatever it is. And I think about that, and I'm like, Joshua or Isabel, don't you remember? And they're like, oh, I thought you forgot about that. Or, oh, I thought that that wasn't serious. Or, I thought that that was past us. Or whatever the reason may be. But what these children are teaching me, what these children should be teaching us, is that God tells us to be like little children. There is no sin in your life. There is no mess up. There is no fault, brothers and sisters, that should stop you and me from getting back into the presence of the Lord. Many times I'll talk to people that have a mess up or a sin or a fault from many, many years ago that they still hold on to. But nothing good has ever came from that. Think about it. Think about the last time that you messed up, or even something maybe that you're holding on to now that you won't let go, that you won't forgive yourself for. And I challenge you to tell me one good thing that's come from it. By you holding on to it for the past year, 2, 3, 4, 10, even 20, 30 years, tell me one good thing that's came from that. I can tell you many things. It stopped you from getting into the presence of the Lord. It stopped you from receiving the grace of God. It stopped you and me from receiving the power and the love and experience and fellowship with the Lord. You see, God is not scared of your sin. Make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters. There is not a sin that scares God Almighty. There's not a fault. There's not a shortcoming that you have. There's not a disappointment that you have that scares the Maker of the universe. You see, the Bible tells us that God desires for us to come to Him. The Bible is extremely clear and says, listen, if you'll come to me, then I'm faithful and I'm just to forgive your sins. But the Bible says we must confess them. In other words, we've got to be willing to take them to the King. Why do we think that we know what's best for us? The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah that God knew the plans that He had for you and me. I challenge you to let go of that sin. It doesn't mean you're not sorry for it. It just means you trust God more. It doesn't mean that you're not remorseful or that you don't want to not do it again. It just means that you believe the goodness of God is greater than your strength. It means that you believe the grace and mercy of the risen Savior is greater than anything that you personally possess. In the scripture, in verse 11, the Bible says, now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept." And if this comes up to the governor's ears, your Bible may say Pilate's ears, "We will appease him and make sure you're secure, or make sure that you don't get into any trouble." In closing this morning, you have Mary Magdalene, who the Bible says that Jesus had cast out 7 demons. You have the other Mary, you have the disciples, you have all these people that have fallen short. These people that they've cussed, they've lied, they've stolen, they've been tax collectors, they've done all these terrible, terrible things, but they had one thing in common. They had all experienced looking into the eyes of the Savior. They had all experienced being in the presence of someone so great that one word from him, or a couple words, "Follow me," forever changed their life. They were willing later on to die for this cause. They were willing later on to suffer great adversity, to suffer great bodily harm. Why? Because they knew that when they were in the presence of him, that that was everything that they needed. They knew that while they were in the presence of him, that their hearts burned, that they felt whole. And brothers and sisters, this morning, the only way for you and me to experience wholeness is to let go of that forgiveness. Or excuse me, is to experience forgiveness. It's to let go of the pain. It's to let go of the worry. It's to let go of you and me messing up. We have to be willing to forgive others. Yes, that's very, very important. But I want you to know this morning that you have to be willing to forgive yourselves. The scripture says that as the soldiers came to talk to the political leaders, the religious leaders, they said, "Listen, man, this is what happened. The angel came down and Mary was there and Mary Magdalene was there and all these things. And this man that we know we put in this tomb is no longer there. There's been a miracle that's taken place." The Bible says that they tell the guards, "Listen, we're going to give you a lot of money to lie. We're going to give you a lot of money to lie. And if Pilate hears about it, we'll make sure that you don't get into trouble. In other words, we'll make sure you don't suffer for your mistake." Is it not amazing this morning? This blew my mind earlier when God showed me this, that right after the Savior of the world gets up from the dead, one of the first sins that we see is we see these men trying to manipulate these other men, saying, "Listen, a lie will make sure you stay out of trouble." This morning, brothers and sisters, don't lie to yourself. I shouldn't lie to myself to make me believe that I've forgiven myself. You see, the Bible says that the truth will make you free. And this morning, I desire more than anything is for you to let go of that hurt. It's for you to forgive yourself. You to forgive yourself for the mistake that maybe happened with your kids or your parents or your family or your coworkers. You see, there's a reason that the enemy used this lie. There's a reason that the enemy tried to make these men feel bad for this miracle happening. You see, Peter, once again, when he saw Jesus after denying him and doing all these terrible things, he jumped in the water and got to him. Mary Magdalene, after having 7 demons cast out of her and doing awful things, just wanted to be in the presence of the Lord. Throughout Scripture, time and time again, these men and these women knew that they just needed to get into the presence of the Lord, because I believe that they understood that they were forgiven. Paul, after killing countless people, putting them in jail, doing all these terrible acts, talks about the goodness of God. How? Because he forgave himself. A couple nights ago, I believe it was Sunday, man, I got a migraine headache. I felt terrible. And the Lord touched me, and I began to feel better. I began to feel worse, blase, blase. But at the end of the night, me and Joshua were saying our prayers. And to be honest, I didn't put very much effort into the prayer. I felt so bad. So I kind of pray, and about, I don't know, 45 seconds, a minute later, Joshua speaks up, 10 years old, and you can hear that he's nervous. You can hear his voice is trembling a little bit. And he says, "Dad, there's something that I want to say." He said, "Dad, I need to say something. Dad, I know it's bedtime. Dad, I know we're supposed to be asleep. But Dad, I need to say something to you." And I'm like, "Okay, Joshua, what's going on?" And he said, "Dad, I need to pray." And he put his little hand on my head. And he said, "God, I ask that you heal my dad. God, I speak to this headache, and I ask you, Lord, to take this headache away from my dad. Jesus' name, amen." And Joshua, he was a little nervous, because when he prays sometimes like that, he gets a little scared or a little nervous. And I instantly grabbed him and wrapped him up in my arms, and I told him how much I loved him, and I told him how much I appreciated him. And instantly, God showed me that that is exactly the way God feels about you. And even more so, do you mess up? Do I mess up? Absolutely. But we can't let our shortcomings, we can't let our faults make us not want to go back to Him. We can't allow the enemy to allow lies over our lives to stop us from getting back to the Savior. Brothers and sisters, this morning or whenever you hear this message, I challenge you, I encourage you to be willing to forgive yourself. Don't stop at letting things go with other people. Just as much as God died for them, He died for you. And I promise you, there's never been a time in my life when I have been willing to forgive myself that God has not shown up. Just like I hugged my son, the Bible says us being evil, a heart being deceitful above everything, us being evil, knowing how to give good gifts to our children, how much more our Heavenly Father. I hugged my son because he was willing to step out in faith. How much more do you think God's wanting to do for you and me when we're willing to step out in faith? When we're willing to say, "God, I feel bad about this, and God, I need help forgiving myself. I need you to forgive me, God, and I know you did, but now I need to forgive myself." I'm telling you, it will change your life. Let's pray. Father, I honor you. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that this will not be a message that we will soon forget about. I pray it will not be a message, God, that we allow the enemy to come and attack. I pray that this word falls on good ground, Lord. And God, I know some water and some tend the soul, but it is you and you alone that bring the increase. Father God, I prophesy that increase will come into our lives. I say in Jesus' name, God, that we will forgive ourselves. And we'll give you the credit for forgiving us. We'll give you the honor. We'll bestow upon you the glory, God. Lord, I pray that we can be like Mary and Mary Magdalene, that we can come seek you. And when we don't find you at the tomb, we're still willing to go further. Lord, I pray that you will bless my brothers and sisters financially, physically, spiritually. But God, more than anything today, I speak forgiveness over us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to each one of us individually and show us how you forgave us, so therefore we should forgive ourselves. By faith, we pray these things. I loose angels all around my brothers and sisters. I pray that you keep them, God. I pray that you restore them and you strengthen them. And I honor you and give you all glory. In Jesus' name, amen.